Hello, I'm Derek.
I'm Allison.
Today we're going to talk to each other like we do every day. This is going to be a new podcast. My name is Derek. I'm from Albuquerque, New Mexico, originally, and my woman sitting next to me on the floor is named Allison. She changed her last name to Landhorse after fleeing abuse from a former marriage. And my name is still just the same name because I haven't had to flee any abuse, at least not from a man who's was using me for 20 years.
No.
So here we are. We've had other podcasts before. We've done many things in the past, lots of different times, and we're going to do it again. But we're going to do it this time. We're going to do it in a way that is reflective of our new way of being. It seems like we change our way of life every few hours.
I was going to say at least every few months, but
So I think we're on a new path, on a new place, a new location, new everything. So we're going to be reflecting that whole thing back to you if you're listening. If you are listening, thank you for listening. This podcast is brought to you by, let's see, I got a glass over there with some liquid in it. It's brought to you by the place that produced the liquid. That's redacted though. Thank you. Mainly the point of this podcast is to air the way in which we are alive to the world, to get out the energy that's trapped inside from living a day-to-day life in this current state of the world. We're on a spiritual path similar to Thomas Merton or Ram Dass or Chogyam Trungpa, etc. And our life is similar to that. However, the modern world is not like that anymore. So we're trapped in this modern world, in this industrial society and its future. But the future is here. Ted Kaczynski was right, and we're living in it at this moment. And so we're trying to figure out how to live and how to be ourselves and be alive without shooting ourselves by just being on the spiritual path and what it takes to be on the spiritual path and how that affects our day-to-day life.
Yeah. Great job.
I'm the host of this podcast.
Yes, please be the host.
We just had a 20-minute long recording before this where it was the opposite way and it just didn't work. So since I have Jupiter in Aries, that means I'm going to be in charge.
And Mars and Gemini.
And Mars and Gemini. I have a second house sun as well. So leadership is pretty much my realm of experience. And I have Saturn in Sagittarius in the 10th with a Aries sun in the second, with Jupiter in Aries in the second and North Node in Aries in the second. So that means if you're going to pick a leader out of a group, I will be picked. There's no doubt. That's just how it is. I can't help it. So here we are. We're in Taos, New Mexico, and I'm the leader of this podcast.
Excellent. I mean, my chart is not like that. Everything's in the eighth house, which is a deep, intimate, emotional house. It's not a public-facing
No,
house.
no.
So I am excellent with you and at following you and being in tune with you and going really deep and intimate, but I'm not as good at being the public-facing person or being on a stage or any of those things.
Allison has a Cancer North Node,
Yes.
which is like stay at home and cry underneath the
I've
covers.
been doing pretty good at that, don't you think?
Yeah. So the leadership of the world is not exactly in the chart, literally. But that's just how it is, which I think is one of the troubling, difficult aspects of being alive as a human. We don't know how to live. We're trying to figure it out, and no one is telling us. But we forgot that we have a map that has all the information already on it that can help us to figure shit out. And it's called a birth chart, and it's helpful, and it's not new. It's nothing new. The astrology is nothing new. It's been around for a long fucking time, and we can use it to help ourselves and to be ourselves. And that is what we're going to be. So another thing that we thought about for this podcast was possibly just talking about some of the whole experiences of life that we've had and that I've had, because they're interesting. Mm-hmm. People keep saying that. It's true, and that's just how it is. So if you've got the experiences, you know, it's like a writing.
Yeah.
Allison's a writer. She just finished her first book. It's sent out to the publisher. The title of it is called The Priestess and the Sniper. And to write anything, the best place to start is to use what you've got, you know. So here we are. We're going to use what we've got. What we've got is Allison is a 43-year-old, on the verge of being 43-year-old woman. I am a 37-year-old man. We live in Taos, New Mexico, and we have been through the business since we've been alive. We've experienced things that others haven't. We've been around, and since we have been around, we have some stories to share about where we've been. Mm-hmm. And perhaps through those stories, they can help you on your path and where you're going. Maybe you can listen to this as a companion to your life to try to figure out what the hell is going on. We have a motto and a way of being that everything is working out perfectly. But in order for everything to be working out perfectly, you have to know that death is no big deal. And then you have to be yourself and do what you love. If you do that, then everything is working out perfectly and it's all coming together.
Mm-hmm.
But before any of those things can happen, you're probably going to have to be exposed to trauma.
Mm-hmm.
You might.
You're going to have to be exposed to death for sure.
Yeah, death, bondage, captivity,
torture,
terrible experiences, or just, you know, horrible things. You never know what's going to happen. You're in a driving along and you get in a wreck. Next thing you know, you're paralyzed on half your body. That can be challenging. So I think no matter how you get there, if you're there, here we are. If you're not there, then you're not listening to this right now anyway. You're watching, it's Sunday, so probably football.
Definitely.
So if you're listening to this, that means you have been ejected out of the plane and you're in a parachute right now floating down into VC-controlled jungle. Will you be taken prisoner or will you escape? Will you become little Dieter and be trapped in a POW camp being tortured? Or will you make it out like Master Sergeant Ray Benavides, Medal of Honor recipient? It's up to you, but it's going to, either way, whoops, you burn the boats.
Mm.
Sorry, I wish you wouldn't have. Chogyam Trungpa says, it's better never to start on the path than to try to turn around. Mm-hmm. Because you learn that you can't turn around and there's nowhere to go because you burn the boats. There's no way to get home. Home is now the path that you're on. And to get yourself to be living on that path, you're going to have to just face the reality and the truth. And the truth is it's there every single second of the day, but you have to be aware of it and mate with it, I guess, for it to be anything in your life.
Mm. Great job.
Thanks. I'm not really sure where I'm going with any of this. We're just talking.
Well, one thing I thought of when you were saying like all these different experiences that we've been through and why I share them or why I talk about them, Joseph Campbell, who did all kinds of work with archetypes and mythology, was a great scholar, an excellent teacher, who also had the sun in Aries and Jupiter in Aries.
Yes.
Maybe also the North Node. I'd have to check.
I think he did have North Node in Aries, possibly.
Possibly.
No.
Maybe not. No, he had something else. Maybe he had Mercury.
South Node in Pisces.
Well, I can tell you momentarily.
There's something. Either way, Joseph Campbell was a hell of a guy. If you have learned anything about myths or archetypes, you probably didn't even realize you learned it from Joseph Campbell. He's the preeminent scholar on mythology in the 20th century, or yeah, 20th century. So that's where most of the information that's out there, at least at this current stage, is coming from.
So he was born March 26th, 1904. Sun in Aries conjunct 1 degree away from Mercury in Aries and Jupiter in Aries.
Oh, wow.
And then another 15 degrees from Jupiter is Mars in Aries.
Oh, shit.
And then he did have a south node in Pisces and Venus in Pisces as well.
What's his north node then? Sagittarius?
North node is in Virgo.
Virgo.
South node in Pisces.
Oh, yeah.
So what Joseph Campbell did was to revitalize the myths. And one of the things he was known for is talking about the hero's journey.
Mm-hmm.
He did a big television special with Bill Moyers. You can still find it. It's called The Power of Myth.
Yes.
It's worth listening to. But one of the things he says is that the loss of mythology and the loss of symbolism, archetypes, stories has created a huge vacuum and a major problem
mm-hmm.
in society, because people are unable to put their lives into any other context than the mundane world of materialism.
Mm-hmm.
They can't see the symbolism of what's happening, so they can't remove themselves from it enough to try to understand what's going on and to see the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
So I think one of the reasons to tell the stories of our own experiences is because it is a form of mythology. It's a story. Yeah, it's a true story, mm-hmm. but I think really all stories are true in some way.
Mm-hmm.
They represent something that's true from the psyche, but the events of our lives are not in and of themselves the whole thing. It's what we've done with them and how we've been able to connect them to myths and mm-hmm. archetypes, which the astrology is really helpful, because astrology is all archetypes and all the planets are named after gods mm-hmm. from the myths. I mean, it's a tie back to that ancient society. But because it works in time and it's working right now,
mm-hmm.
maybe that's why astrology is helpful and important at this moment, because it's like an opening back into an ancient meaning
mm-hmm.
that is actually still current as well. Because the transits are happening right now is mm-hmm. a Gemini moon at
That's
this
true.
Moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, we have to imagine what does a Gemini moon feel like. We're feeling it. We're recording a podcast. The moon is conjunct Jupiter in Gemini. What should we do? Let's talk.
Let's talk and let's record it and let's make sure everyone knows about it.
So I think that's the link to the present moment. So Joseph Campbell says in that series, The Power of Myth, that what we need is an updated mythology. We need a mythology that is connected to modern life, that is understandable in our own day-to-day worlds. And religion is not that anymore, because those stories are also completely outdated. And the symbolism has been lost because people take them too literally. They don't even see the symbolism.
Mm-hmm.
So there aren't a lot of stories and there aren't a lot of examples of how to find meaning or see the symbols, see the archetypes, see the recurring patterns. I think that's something too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jojo, as I call him, Jojo Campbell, he would say, or did say in his book, The Hero with a Thousand Faces, that if you're a scholar or a person reading, trying to figure life out,
mm-hmm.
you might turn to religion or the myths or mythology, archetypes, therapy, etc. But what you'll find is that Jesus is similar to Moses, who is similar to Osiris, who's similar to Muhammad, who it's all the same story. And the actual historicity is what he said.
Mm-hmm.
of the historical figures themselves is really irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
What is relevant is the symbolic acts that they performed to help humans understand what it means to be alive as a human. We are alive right now as human beings, and there's examples of being alive that have already happened. and they've happened a shitload of times, and they happen almost very similarly over and over and over and over and over again. Look what's happening now. We're living in a modern culture with cars, the internet, TVs. But what we're really doing is congregating in mass in cities, performing a culture or society similar to every other one that's ever existed, like Rome, Greece, Babylon, etc. It's the same thing. We're just in a different time. Right now we're in a different time. I'm wearing jeans instead of a man
Robes.
dress. I have no beard because there's such thing as razors. I can shave it off easily. So, but the truth is still the same. The symbolism is still the same. I can relate to Jesus. When Jesus is getting nailed on the cross and looks over at his two pals who are also crucified at the same time, I can say, damn, I haven't been crucified physically this time in life, but I sure know what it's like to be on the cross with two other guys as my comrades after being punished and made into a enemy of the state. I can identify with that symbolism, even though I have never even met anyone who has been crucified. Okay, sorry. Here's the side note. In 2017, I moved back to Albuquerque. I'm originally from Albuquerque, New Mexico. I moved back to Albuquerque, New Mexico, as an attempt to come back to my homeland with my first wife, Toni, who died of cancer 2 years ago. But when I moved back to Albuquerque, I forgot that New Mexico is nuts. I would go running next to the Bosque, by the Rio Grande over there, off of like Rio Grande and 12th Street and Central. Anyway, I'm running on the path. This is this path I run on every few days. It's my favorite path to run on. I find out that the same path I run on, someone has taken a guy, crucified him to a tree, and left him for dead on that same path that I'm running on. This was in 2017, not in Babylon. This did not happen in Babylon. It happened in Albuquerque, New Mexico. A guy was crucified to a tree. Someone found him there, and he refused to say who did it to him. This is the truth and a fact and crazy, but it's also nothing new. I mean, who crucified a guy to a tree? Some fucked up people in this modern era, but where do you think they heard of it? Probably from thousands of lifetimes of being a human, and what are the ways to torture someone? That's one. It's nothing new, and it's not confusing at all. But we make our life confusing in this current era. And try to make it be something that is new and has never happened, but it has happened. Almost everything that's ever happened to anyone has happened shitloads of times, over and over and over and over again. And if we can understand the symbolism and the meaning and the archetypes of the myths and the astrology, we could perhaps transcend our day-to-day experience of life and go into another way of being. It's possible to live as a human in another way. It is possible. I know that humans can fly. I can be in three places at once. I can read other people's thoughts. I can put my hand through a table and have a rainbow body, etc. This is the truth. It's just that we forgot what's going on, but we're about on the edge of remembering. So I think you should remember as well if you're listening to this.
Yeah, it's connected to past lives as well, which is another thing we talk about all the time. But like you're saying, everything has happened thousands of times. Everything has also happened to you personally before. And we've been through all of these different situations. We've been in lots of different storylines and lots of different archetypes, but it's much easier to understand the emotions particularly that come up in your daily life, if you know that and you know that those stories are also in your own soul. And when something happens, it has these reverberating levels of meaning, both for you personally and for what's happening in your life. So I thought of that while you were talking.
Thank you. I lost my train of thought.
That's all right.
Because there is no train of thought. You know, we're talking about stories. What does it mean to be alive? And do you have any stories? What is the myth? What is the mythology? Do you know anything about mythology? The only thing I know for sure is that I've been alive for 37 years. And throughout that time, I've mythologized myself and been something else. I've been a thousand things already. And it seems like there's themes that keep repeating. And if we can understand those themes, maybe we can stop repeating the same exact ones over and over again. But the mythology is happening, and it's happening because of the astrology mixed with my soul. So my astrology says that I have a Aries sun in the second house with Jupiter in Aries, Pluto in Scorpio in the ninth, Aquarius rising, etc. Mix that with the modern world, and I'm going to get some experiences that are going to be unique to me. And I bet if you're listening to this now, you have some experiences that are unique to you. And they're probably, it makes sense based on what your chart looks like. If you have a Capricorn sun, for example, you probably are at work right now. You know, if you have a Scorpio sun, you're probably watching pornography right now. If you have a Pisces sun, you're probably painting or in a fantasy land.
You might be blacked out drunk.
You might be, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I lost my train of thought too while you were saying all that. Because I was going to say, if you have a Scorpio sun, you're probably texting your ex-boyfriend or posting pictures of yourself on Instagram wearing not that much clothing.
Probably, yeah.
Or if you have a Sagittarius sun, you're arguing with someone about how you're right and they're wrong. Most likely something philosophical, but...
If you have a Taurus sun, you're eating a piece of bread right now.
Right, wearing your pajamas.
If you have a Leo sun, you're performing something right now. Or you're being the center of attention.
Yes. If you have a Cancer sun, you're either crying in a good way or you're whining in a bad way.
If you have a Libra sun, you're agreeing to do something you don't want to do right now.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? What do you like? I don't know. What do you like? I think I'm hungry. What are you hungry for? I think I'm hungry for bread. Okay. What kind of bread? Well, do you like rye? Do you like rye? I don't know. Do you like sourdough? Well, we only have white bread. Okay. I guess that's okay. As long as you like it. Do you like white bread? Well, I don't really like white bread that much, but if you like it, then we can have some. If you want to. Actually, I don't know. I have to use the bathroom, but do you have to use the bathroom? Maybe you can go first. I'll wait for you. Sorry.
That's okay. No, that's an excellent example of what happens to Libra. What haven't we done? Aquarius.
Aquarius.
If you have an Aquarius sun, you're turning this podcast off because it's the contrary thing to do.
If you have an Aquarius sun, you're making a cape right now. If you have an Aquarius sun, you're watching a documentary about Bill Murray and his Aquarius sun.
Oh, okay. We haven't done what? Gemini.
If you have a Gemini sun, you're gone. You're out of here. You've done so many things that by this point that you're like...
You've forgotten what you're doing.
You played a game. Then you started a podcast yourself. And then you started writing down an idea, but then you forgot what it was. Then you moved on.
Yes.
And then you started making your own piece of bread.
If you have an Aries sun, you're running right now.
Yeah.
All right. I think we got them all. No, to Virgo.
Virgo.
You're either criticizing yourself or someone else at this moment.
You're looking at yourself in the mirror and wondering why you're fatter than you once were and what you need to do and what steps you need to take to get you back to the the regular amount of fat you used to be.
Right.
But you're still not going to be good enough. You're
Never, of
going to
course.
be close, maybe, but.
All right, so that's a good introduction to astrology. Although it's so not like that, it's not cartoonish and one-dimensional, but it can be funny to boil it down to that. I mean, there are some things that are true.
It's true.
They're archetypes for a reason, you know. They're stereotypes for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
They come from something.
They do.
But the sun is just one element of your chart. There's a lot more going on mm-hmm. than just that.
There's a reason why I can do Libra very good, because I have a Libra South Node and a Libra Moon.
Exactly.
I understand Libra real well.
Right.
But you probably don't. If you don't have any Libra in your chart, you might not understand what the hell I'm talking about.
Right. Right.
Here's a question, if you're listening to this right now. What happened? What happened to you? What happened to society? Why are you wearing a flat-brimmed hat? Look at yourself in the mirror right now. Why? What are you doing? Why are you doing the things you're doing? Why are you going the places you're going? How did you get here? Where are you going to go? And for what reason? Did you realize there's propaganda?
Mm.
Did you understand that you're living in a manufactured reality that you didn't even agree to? Or maybe you did. Maybe you like it. I don't know. These are some questions I have, because Allison and I are Aquarian types. Our composite chart has an Aquarius sun in the 12th. So we get a glimpse of modern day reality through the lens of other people's experiences, because our experience is limited as far as modern culture goes. We don't participate in the zeitgeist of the day. We don't go on the computer and do the Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, the news, the radio. We just removed ourselves from all those inputs because we can't take it. Mm-hmm. Frankly, that's all. It's boring. I've heard it before. Here's another story. The last week I went to the VA. I had to get blood drawn because I want to increase my disability from 70% to 100%. In order to do that, I have to establish care so that I can give some documents down so that hopefully I can achieve 100% VA rating. Anyway, I'm in the waiting room. On the television is Kelly and Mark, which is the updated version of Regis and Kathy Lee.
Mm-hmm.
This show that I'm watching the other day, last week, is exactly the same as Regis and Kathy Lee in the late 80s, early 90s. The only difference is there's a woman named Kelly who used to be Regis's sidekick, and some guy I've never heard of named Mark, who's a fancy boy. And they're interviewing people who are famous, and they're laughing fakely, talking about bullshit, wearing ridiculous clothes. They look psychotic. She's thinner than shit. The guy is manicured as like if he's been primped for some sort of science experiment. And they're fakely talking about all kinds of things. Anyway, this is my glimpse into modern day reality, because I have no idea. I didn't know this was going on. I didn't know people are watching Kelly and Mark. This is crazy. It's crazy to me to think that in the year 2024, on the break of the new dawn of Pluto and Aquarius, that it's even possible for Kelly and Mark to be a show, that there's even funding to produce a television show with that as the idea. It's sick, actually, I think. And I think it's going down hard. And I think if you're listening to this as well, you probably know this, that it is going down, but maybe you don't know what to do or how to get there. How is it going to go down? I mean, why is it even up? How did it get there? But it's there, and I think we're going to be on the edge of seeing the downfall of mainstream culture, at least a downfall into what's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is that is a bunch of bullshit and no one cares about that. The truth is we are living in a way that's all crazy, and that we need to change every aspect of modern society, or else we're fucked. We're not. This isn't like a political from a political point of view or anything like that. It's just from a symbolic point of view. Read any book from any time before 1970, and you'll realize that the culture has eroded to the point of no return. It cannot be saved. It has to be just let go of. We have to let go, really. We just have to let go of what's happening so that we can move on. And as the quicker we do that, the quicker we'll start to change into something that actually will be interesting and matter, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the letting go part, I mean, maybe it's hard for us to conceive of at this point, but I think there are still quite a few people that haven't fully woken up to the truth of what's already happening. So before they can let it go, they have to first see that what has happened, that it is the end, that it's over. This is not working, and we gotta move on and let go of it and possibly do some grieving. Do some reflecting on what happened and what should happen, but not too much, and just move on into the future, which is Aquarius. Pluto goes into Aquarius for the next, I mean, it moves on Tuesday, November 19th, 2024, and it will be there for, I believe, 24 years this
Oh,
time.
yeah.
So it's gone. It started last spring, kind of doing a few touches in. I think it was last spring. It might have been before that, but it's done a few touches into Aquarius and then gone retrograde back into Capricorn and just hasn't permanently stayed in Aquarius. So I think that now, once this happens, there's no going back. I mean, Aquarius has to do with a totally new perspective, a totally new way of seeing things that's different than Capricorn.
I don't really have any Capricorn in my chart except for
Neptune.
Neptune. I have Neptune and Capricorn. Allison has a Capricorn South. No.
Yes.
Yeah, Capricorn South Node conjunct Venus in Capricorn. So it's similar to my way of being of understanding Libra. She understands Capricorn too good. You know, if it's up to her, she's working nonstop without eating and or complaining or crying. That is unbalanced, and the Capricorn energy itself, the positive aspects of it are great. It, you know, it can produce a great work. It can go dive down under the sea and bring back the pearls of wisdom that are there. It is able to climb the mountain. Just has to pick the right one, as old Stevie Boy might say, and can do a lot, but it's can be difficult to know when to stop, what's right, what's wrong, and what you should even attempt to do. And I believe at this moment we're going to find out if Capricorn, Pluto and Capricorn, had any effect that is worth saving at this point. You know, we're going into Pluto in Aquarius, where is there any pearls that we've gleaned from the era of Pluto being in Capricorn? Possibly some, but as far as I can tell, I mean, I've been alive this entire time that Pluto was in Capricorn. I was alive that whole time. And I from what I can tell, if I had to guess, that w since Pluto has been in Capricorn, we've taken what was a gradual slip into just outright crazy life into now we did like a Star Trek hyper, what is it called, warp speed. We went into psychotic behavior in a warp speed when Pluto was in Capricorn, I think, and now we're paying the piper for what has happened and what was allowed to happen during that time. You know, social media was invented and created and perpetuated heavily during that time, and look at what has happened. we're living in the fruits of that at this moment. And it's crazy, but it's really not that crazy, you know, not compared to Babylon or ancient Rome or any other time, really. Just we're in our time, and it seems crazy to us because we're here now.
Well, it's interesting because the way you were talking about Capricorn, I mean, it's all accurate. It's just not how I've been thinking mostly of Pluto and Capricorn. I've been thinking about it as institutions, Capricorn representing mm-hmm. institutions, government, the status quo, law and order. Mm-hmm. There has been a lot of that as well since 2008, which when Pluto went into Capricorn. Mm-hmm. But you were talking about these other qualities of hard work, perseverance. Uh-huh. And what occurred to me is, what's the opposite of letting go?
Clutching on.
Yeah. And working your work. Let's work hard uh-huh. and try to fix it. Let's, oh God, it's going to fall apart. Let's do whatever we can. We got to work hard. We got to try to fix it. We got to just keep going. Just keep going. That's a good Capricorn mm-hmm. phrase. I mean, that would be a good way to sum up what's been going on.
All we need is every member of America, get out your bazooka bubble gum. Everyone chew it. And we're going to each place a piece of our bubblegum on the holes of society. And we're going to fix it. And it's never going to blow up again. If there's the we're on the Titanic. Mm-hmm. If everyone chews a piece of bubblegum and plugs their own hole and does their part, we're going to make the society be right. All we need is Bush, Obama, Trump, Obama, Biden, Reagan, Jimmy Carter, Gerald Ford, just keep on plugging them in, and we're going to right this ship. We're going to miss that iceberg. I don't think it's worked.
It's definitely not working.
No.
I think we just maybe coined a new phrase. It's like bazooka liberalism.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
I mean, because what you just described, I think, is a very the liberal perspective. Mm-hmm. Everyone take your gum and put it in the hole. And if we all put our gum in the hole, mm-hmm. the ship is not going to sink. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just doesn't work. It's not working.
No.
Because it's not working because it's not worth saving. The thing that is dying needs to die, mm-hmm. which is the infrastructure of capitalism, of Western civilization, of particularly American culture, mm-hmm. the way that it has become now. And what happened in 2008 was the economic crisis, mm-hmm. and then the reaction to that with Capricorn style reaction mm-hmm. of let's just, the government will fix it, and mm-hmm. everybody just hard work and keep going, and denial mm-hmm. of reality. Don't stop and feel your feelings. Don't question anything also with Capricorn, which mm-hmm. is the opposite of Aquarius. I mean, Capricorn's ruled by Saturn. Saturn represents discipline, authority, following the rules, all of those things. Aquarius is the fundamental questioner. Mm-hmm. It's the archetype of the rebel, of the person that will not go along. Mm-hmm. So if all of society is moving into an Aquarian moment of 24 years, mm-hmm. it will change things.
It is going to change things, no doubt. It's just, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
When I say we, what does that even mean? Is yeah. there even a we? It seems like we are not included in the we.
No.
But it's there is some sort of we, I guess. If you go outside and go to a store, the group inside the store, if there's more than one, is a we. And together, we're doing something, whether we like it or not. But how are we doing it? That's what's going to be revealed with Pluto and Aquarius. We're going to reveal what's going on. Are you different from the man on the corner that says anything helps, or fell on hard times, ran out of gas, etc.? Or are you different than that person that you're literally 1 foot away from while you're in your car? Is there some difference between those two things? I don't know. But we're going to find out, because we're all here on this thing. Mm-hmm. We're in this material reality at this moment together. So we'll figure out what it is that's going to be revealed, And what the reactions are to that fact, I guess.
So it looks like Pluto goes into Pisces the first time in 2044. So 20 years
Oh
before
my.
it starts going into Pisces. But then by 2044, Jupiter will be in Aquarius
Oh yeah.
at that time too. So there'll still be another round of Aquarian energy coming behind that. Yeah, that's an interesting perspective. And just, when is it too far to preserve the society? Capricorn is all about preserving the society. And actually, our previous podcast, we talked quite a bit about that, not about preserving this system, but about what we would want to preserve from human life, which I think was a good Capricorn theme. But this is now something new.
The age of Aquarius, the age of Aquarius.
Definitely.
I think the Summer of Love. I don't know when that song came out. Probably in the 70s. Was it the 60s? I don't think it
The Age of
was. The
Aquarius.
song, I think
I mean,
it.
it's from the musical Hair.
It is.
Yeah.
I see. We've been waiting anyway,
Yeah.
as a collective. That the collective is a part of Aquarius. The collective has been waiting for the age of Aquarius since then. We've strapped our bell bottoms on. We've got our hair longer than shit. We're listening on repeat to the age of Aquarius. We've done so many hits of acid that we can't even tell the difference between acid and regular reality. And now Pluto is entering Aquarius. So maybe it will start to be something that's tangible that we can see, as opposed to just head shops with Grateful Dead stickers in it. I don't know.
Well, and I think it connects back to what you were originally saying about the Kelly and Mark and the propaganda, because it's linked to this Capricorn theme of just try harder. And so is social media, really, if you think about it. If you look at it like the 1984 style of doublethink, newspeak, the whole shaping of reality, shaping of everyone's consciousness, it's gone. Warp speed. That's what's gone warp speed, I think, is the effectiveness and the pervasiveness of the propaganda. So Kelly and Mark is like nothing really. It's the tip of the iceberg of what's really going on with the propaganda. That used to be the main way. Now social media has gotten so completely entwined with people's minds and their lives. They really worked hard on making the propaganda stronger and trying to shore up the system through that effort. So I think the first thing with Pluto and Aquarius is to get out of that. You have to free your mind, going back to the 70s.
We gotta get out of this place. S if it's something, the song from the Vietnam.
I don't know the words, but there's
I think
another.
it's the Animals, possibly.
Yeah, so getting your mind unplugged, getting out of that so that you can even start to think for yourself. Because another thing that Aquarius it is, if anything, is an innovative thinker or a different thinker. But there's no possibility of being a different thinker if you allow your whole mind to be controlled by the message that's coming through all of those things.
Right. Are you being controlled right now? Are you wearing Chelsea boots at this moment? Do you have a perfectly manicured upper eyebrow area? Are your nails perfectly long or short based on whatever program you're on? Are you on the I don't shave my armpits program or I wax my armpits program? Either way, it's the same program. I'm not sure if you're aware of this. Versace is at the same exact program as Mountain Hardwear. They are the same. There's no difference between Sesame Street and American Horror Story. It's the same program. The same people appear on the same things, doing the same dance, and you are the victim of the propaganda unwittingly. But thankfully, you don't have to be a victim. There's a song by the Templars called "Don't Want to Be a Victim." It goes, "I'm a victim of police harassment. I'm a victim of poor education. I'm a victim of human hate. I'm a victim, and there's no escape." There is an escape, and the escape is for your mind, which is the same exact medicine that they've been prescribing since Alan Watts and Timothy Leary and Ram Dass have been saying it since their very first acid trip in the late 50s. This is not a new recipe for what to do. It's the same recipe. It's just that people took the pill and then didn't want to face the truth. Oh my God, I'm in an orgy. I thought this was free love. And then instead of realizing the truth, they became bankers in the 80s and real estate agents and sold their souls to cryptocurrency at this point now. And it's all the same exact game that we've been jumping up and down on for decades and decades and decades at this point, that it's so intertwined that it's hidden so effectively that you can't even find it in there until you're met with the truth, which will happen. Your best friend is gonna die. Your dog is gonna die. You're gonna die. Your wife, your brother, your mother, your friend, your sister is also gonna die, and they might die today. And then, where will, is Lady Gaga coming to the funeral? How about the most popular YouTube person? Is the kid who unwraps gifts on YouTube going to give the eulogy to your grandpa's funeral? No, it's not happening. You have to realize that right now. The guy who plays Big Bird is walking around in the suit, is probably somehow linked to Mariah Carey, and they hang out. Tom Cruise is there, but they're not coming to your birthday party. I guarantee it. And until you figure that out, you're never going to be free, ever.
Wow. Yeah. And with the hidden thing,
Yeah, the hidden.
Pluto and Scorpio, we've got Scorpio sun right now, but Pluto represents what's hidden, what is buried from awareness and the possibility of it coming to awareness. But I don't know. I don't know what it takes for for that to happen.
I don't know either, but I know this. If you're listening to this podcast at this moment, are you questioning the even concept of a podcast? What is a podcast? Who the fuck came up with that? What is going on is me, Derek, sitting in Taos, New Mexico, is speaking into a microphone, which is connected to another little device and is being recorded on my computer that is I bought in 2013. I'm going to use the program called Audacity to mix this down into a single MP3 file, and then I'm going to upload it on RSS.com podcast player nonsense. Then perhaps if you are listening to this right now, you're hearing the truth as known. No, you're hearing the truth. It's coming to you, and it's coming to you by a person. That's me. It's not filtered. I didn't ask Lady Gaga if it was okay to say this right now. I did not ask Michael Jackson's lawyers if it's okay to talk about this. I did not get any approval from Nike or Adidas if it was okay. I'm not Propel Fitness Water is not supporting me in any way, and because of that, the truth is coming to you, but it's coming to you the old way. That's the truth. It's the old way. It's just that these systems have tried to capitalize on talking. You can't capitalize on me talking. I can talk anywhere I want, any way I want to. No one will stop me, and that's just a fact. So that's what's really happening, and you should question everything that's happening. This is not a podcast. This is not a program. This is not anything. This is me talking into a mic with my woman sitting on the ground next to me, also talking into a mic, and we're alive. We're here. We're talking to you, who's listening as well, with headphones or maybe just on the speaker. And we're trying to say that life is more than what they want you to believe, and it matters. And I think you know that. So you should do something about it. And you shouldn't do anything about it tomorrow. How about right now? Today, this second is the time to do anything you can. Whatever you've got, a gift you've got, you should start doing it immediately so that we can all figure out what is going on and join hands together and go into the next era of civilization. Because we're alive anyway, so what difference does it make? If we're alive, we might as well do something that matters, that is interesting, and we can do it together, I think.
Beautiful.
So.
So, huh?